The scripture today is Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. Genesis chapter 19, and verse 17. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, the Bible describes the events of the end time as follows. Matthew chapter 24, verses 10 through 13. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. We're living in the end time where sins and evil are rampant. Sodom and Gomorrah, featured in Genesis chapter 19, were also filled with sins and evil like today. Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 and 21 say, "And the Lord said, 'The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know.'" As said in the verse, God knew how great their sin was. Prior to His judgment, He sent two archangels to once again confirm how their life was. Because their life had already been drenched in great sin and evil, they were finally subject to the judgment of fire and brimstone. The location of Sodom and Gomorrah is explained in Genesis chapter 10, verse 19. The territory of the Canaanite extended from Sidon as you go toward Gigar, as far as Gaza, as you go toward Sodom and Gomorrah and Adma and Zeboim, as far as Lhasa. As explained, Sodom and Gomorrah were situated in the southern parts of the Dead Sea. Around the former territory of Sodom and Gomorrah is the Dead Sea. With salt added to the land, it has become dead. Those who visited the Dead Sea on a pilgrimage can attest, because of its extremely high salt content, a person can float on it, reading a newspaper. Even those who can't swim at all don't have to worry about being drowned. But if you have the water get into your eyes or drink it, it could be damaging or detrimental. Because the sea has already become dead, no animals or plants can survive here. And now, the city of Sodom is estimated to have sunk down to the bottom of the Dead Sea. It has become a dead and deserted place where no plants or animals can flourish and where humans can't develop civilizations or rebuild their lives ever again. Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 and 25 say, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities, and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." As said, still nowadays, in the vicinity of Sodom and Gomorrah, you discover 98% pure sulfur, which is not found in anywhere else on earth. The Bible describes that fire and brimstone rained down. As you can see in the photo archive, chunks of brimstone have been found by the millions. The purity of brimstone from volcanic deposits measures around 40%, while the brimstone found here measures 98%. These evidences verify that the judgment upon the cities was not a fabricated story, but a tremendous disaster that actually occurred. But even amidst that terrifying disaster, there were people saved from the judgment of fire and brimstone. They were Lot and his family. How come they were rescued from the judgment? It's because they lived a life set apart from the world. The world is a genetic term for all things that oppose and stand against God. As expressed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, against the world forces of this darkness, the world is darkness, so it's no wonder that the world opposes God and who is the light. The world not only leads people to oppose God through such means as TV, computer, smartphones, and sex, but it also makes people oppose God through ideas and thought that deny the creationism and support evolutionism. Some may say, While we live a Christian life, we can't seclude ourselves from the world. So isn't it acceptable to mix with them to some extent? Of course, we can physically isolate ourselves from the world. But spiritually, we should completely sever ties with the world. I prepared today's sermon based on Senior Pastor Genesis Lectures 131 through 133. I chose this topic hoping that all of us could be saved in this end time, just as Lot resolutely severed ties with the world and lived a life set apart from the world, thereby being rescued from the impending destruction. We'll go over the reasons why we should live a life set apart from the world and look back on ourselves as to what kind of life we are living in this end time, where sins and evil are rampant. Why should we live a life set apart from the world? First, it is for our salvation. In Genesis chapter 19, prior to God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot didn't just sit back and do nothing. One of the reasons Lot could be saved was he was at the place where he could grab the chance for God's favor. The biggest reason that Lot and his family was saved from the judgment of fire was that God remembered Abraham, his uncle. Because the righteous man Abraham always harbored Lot, he was connected with Abraham by the spiritual cord and was given a chance for salvation. But even though Lot was given a chance, if Lot himself hadn't seized the chance for salvation, the way to salvation would never have been opened. It would have been the same for his family. Lot, who was tired and empty from the life in Sodom, was sitting in the gateway of the city. Upon seeing the two archangels that arrived there, he got up and bowed down with his face to the ground. When he was taken captive, he could meet Melchizedek with Abraham, who came to rescue him. At that time, Lot saw with his spiritual eyes the two archangels accompanying Melchizedek. That is why Lot could recognize the angels who appeared to him in today's scripture. God, who knows what will happen in the future, opened the spiritual eyes of Lot to see the two archangels. Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. This indicates how much Lot got sick of his life in Sodom and how much he felt void and emptiness. 2 Peter verses 6 through 8 say, "And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled man, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented by day after day by their lawless deeds." Lot had seen, heard, and learned the truth from Abraham. You can imagine how corrupted the city of Sodom was at the time, which was waiting for the upcoming judgment. How tormented Lot must have been. Comparing his life in Sodom to the past when he lived with his uncle Abraham, he was full of regrets about living a worthless, meaningless life. When Lot lived with Abraham, he led a prosperous and happy life with Father God's blessing. Back then, he didn't realize from the depths of his heart how blessed and happy he was. As he lived in Sodom fully tainted with sins and evil, he came to realize the vanity of the world and how important it is to live by the words of God. At this point, the two archangels appeared to him. Lot had no desire to be friend with the world. Rather, he wanted to set himself apart from it. While he was sitting in the gateway of the city away from the worldly people, he grabbed the chance for God's favor. Then, how much have you sought God's grace, cutting yourselves off of the world? As you fall in love with the world or suffer an arduous trial, you regret thinking, "I was happiest when I was filled up with the Spirit." But rather than having regrets, you have to get back up and positively seek God's grace. Only then can you be given opportunities to repent and change yourself. If you only regret and do nothing, you can't change yourself. As we sow deeds of seeking God's grace, God will not overlook our deeds, but provide us with chances to turn back and change. In the parable of a prodigal son featured in Luke chapter 15, we can see such love of God. A son inherited his share of his father's possessions and went away from home. But after he lavishly spent all what he received, he was in a miserable situation, having no one to rely on in a foreign country. Why did he have no one to rely on? When he had money, many people flocked around him. They confessed love and promised they would stand by him forever. They captured his heart with such sweet words. But as he used up all his possessions, they began to change. They thought of him as worthless and not beneficial to them. The attributes of flesh is to seek one's own benefit like this. Fleshly people treat someone well when he seems beneficial, but turn their face away when he is in trouble. Through this, the prodigal son has awakening moments. He realizes how happy and fortunate he was to live with his father. As he reflected on his past when he lived without thanksgiving, he must have felt how worthless and meaningless flesh is and thoroughly repented of it. After going through suffering and misery, he hesitates whether he should go back to his father who looked after him. Because of his shameful deeds, however, it must have been hard to make that decision. But he expected that if he asked his father to make him as one of his hired men, he might accept him. Do you remember how his father reacted? He welcomed him with love. Our Father God must be waiting for us with this kind of heart. He doesn't turn his face away from those who repent and return to his bosom. He yet again extends his love and opens the path to salvation. Does anyone of you hesitate to come before the Father, feeling ashamed of your past? I urge you to completely sever ties with the world and turn back to the bosom of Father God. I hope you keep in mind the love of the Lord who is waiting for you with his arms wide open. Father God desires to give us the grace of salvation any way he can. In this church are special occasions such as summer retreat, church leader seminar, Christmas, senior pastor's birthday. God grants his special favor on these occasions. I also had an unforgettable chance for salvation back in my school days when the church had a summer retreat. It didn't have a significant meaning for me. Because I had no close friends, I decided not to go, despite the urging of people around me. At this point, however, the shepherd appeared to me in my dream, saying, with a gentle face, he said, "Go to the retreat." With a half-surprised and half-excited heart, I attended a retreat. God poured out his grace. Hearing the message, I realized that I was a sinner and repented thoroughly, shedding many tears. I received tongues and was touched by the Holy Spirit. I believe you have the same kind of testimonies as well. Other than those special occasions, to some of you, today may be the day of God's grace. Yet, unless you positively seek his grace with a longing heart, you can't get a chance for salvation, blessing, or answers. I hope you don't forget the blessed days when Father God poured out his grace upon this church. I hope you press on forward with more yearning hearts. The second reason that Lot could be saved from the imminent judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah was that he seized the chance for God's favor. Lot earnestly pleaded with the two archangels to stay in his house. Genesis chapter 19, verses 2 and 3 say, "And he said, 'Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend a night and wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way.' They said, however, 'No, but we shall spend a night in your square.' Yet he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for him and baked unleavened bread, and they ate." Lot could grasp the opportunity of salvation because he had enough faith to serve the two archangels and demonstrate his faith with deeds. In addition to the fact that Abraham harbored Lot himself displayed the deeds of faith. That's how God, Lot could be rescued from the judgment of fire. In Genesis chapter 19, before Lot's family escaped the city of Sodom, the two archangels asked Lot if there were anyone else who belonged to him. This indicates how much God had compassion on Lot and his people and wanted to extend his favor to them because he remembered Abraham. Lot, however, even though the two archangels came to save him, couldn't confidently request that all those who belonged to him be saved. In the face of God's judgment upon Sodom, he wasn't in a position to make such a request, feeling apologetic to God for having chosen to live in that land. But God commanded Lot through the two archangels, "A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of this place." In doing so, God widened the boundary of salvation for them. God provided a chance of salvation even for those who belong to Lot. To the very end, God wants to present chances for everyone, and He wants them to grasp those chances. The time for chances may differ from person to person, but if you demonstrate your faith with a yearning heart, you can surely seize those opportunities. Let me share a testimony of a person who was blessed by seizing an opportunity for God's grace. She had been leading an agonizing Christian life because of many sins she'd committed and with fleshly thoughts. She wasn't certain that she could even be forgiven and only thought of Father God as the frightening and fearful God. Then, from one day, she began to suffer from dermatitis from her head to toe so much that she couldn't sleep properly. Finding herself in such a desperate situation, she made a resolution. She thought that she would rely on Father God. What came to her mind was to attend the divine healing meeting. Because of her husband who wasn't a Christian, she was not allowed to freely attend prayer meeting at night, so she thought of daytime meeting. But there were many obstacles. To attend the meeting, she had to travel to Seoul every day. The round trip between her house and the church took quite a long time, and she couldn't even afford to send her kids off to school in the morning. So she doubted whether she could attend a meeting. She almost put off her decision until later. At this point, her fellow church members advised her, saying, "This is a chance. Don't put it off. You have to put your decision into action right away. This is a chance for you to be healed and blessed." That's how she finally began attending the divine healing meeting at Mamim Prayer Center. Every time she attended a meeting, she repented of her sin with fasting. God offered her much grace. She was happy to see Mrs. Bongim Lee up close. When Mrs. Lee prayed for her, laying her hand upon her, she felt so anointed. As Father God advised her through prophetic words, she felt Father God's love even more strongly. The Father God told her in His prophetic words, "Don't get disappointed saying, 'I have to throw away this evil, throw away that evil,' but they wouldn't go away. Why do I have so much evil? Rather, I want you to think of Father God who watches you and wants to offer grace and more chances even when you're struggling with your evil." She gradually realized Father God's heart for her. One day, a text message arrived. When she discovered sins or evil, she got so distressed and said negative words, but I could sense in her words that her heart was changed. Her text message went like this: "Today, I cried a lot because I discovered a lot of evil, but when I went to the church cafeteria for lunch, I found they poured even more chunks of beef in my soup bowl. Father God is love. What do you think was the gift from Father God?" She began to think of God, whom she considered frightening and fearful, as Father God of love. Previously, when she discovered evil, she thought, "God will hate me. I'm a helpless person." But she began to look at things in love and goodness. Instead of worldly things, she gradually filled her heart with the love of Father God. So she began to discover and realize the Father A love of the Father God hidden in many parts of her life. Now, as she often makes confession of faith and goodness in her daily life, her family has been changed and in peace. How thankful this is! Here, we can see that the shepherd's power, which can change even the hearts of men, is great. Being in the shepherd's space, she could get strengthened to change herself. But no matter how great the shepherd's power is, and how many times we are given chances for God's grace, in order to be healed and receive answers, we have to show at least small deeds of faith on our part in order to satisfy the justice. What about the criminal crucified next to Jesus and received salvation right before his death? How did he grasp the opportunity? Sometimes we have to show eager longing, just like a drowning man will clutch at a straw. In the case of the criminal, he didn't seek God's grace or stay close to Jesus, but he asked for Jesus' mercy right before his death. Following his good conscience, he confessed that he was a sinner and accepted Jesus as his Savior, thereby being saved. He then pleaded with him, with Jesus, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Seeing his faith, Jesus promised, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus proclaimed himself as the Messiah who can forgive sins if anyone repents and lead him to salvation. The saved criminal didn't have time to cast off evil, nor did he work faithfully for the Lord, so he barely qualified for salvation. The paradise is the lowest dwelling place in heaven, reserved for those who receive shameful salvation. All they did was just accept the Lord. They neither fought against sins nor worked hard for the kingdom of God. Because they did nothing for the Lord, they have been promised heaven, where there's no reward for them. Even so, how much thankful they would be to the Lord who saved them, because they were destined to hell. I considered on the Lord's love. He was covered in blood all over his body by being scourged, and having shed all his blood and water, he was completely drained. Even in that situation where he was about to breathe his last, he cared for the criminal and intended to save even that one more soul. This was etched as deep love in my heart. His love is so similar to that of our shepherd, who doesn't give up on us to the end, but wants to save us. The shepherd cherishes each one of his flock. Even those who have deficiencies or committed unforgivable sins, he intercedes for them so that they can be forgiven and given a chance again. As for those who fail to obey with a lot of fleshly thoughts, rather than rebuking them or pointing out their faults, he was concerned about their living in distress because of their fleshly thoughts. The shepherd hovered them and prayed that they could get rid of their fleshly thoughts and be strengthened to obey. By realizing the love of a Father God who repeatedly gives us opportunities, I hope you can take hold of those opportunities and make them your own. The reason Lot could be saved from the judgment. Lastly, he kept his faith to the end. Even at the threat of his life and the risk of losing his two dear daughters, he kept his faith and duty before God. While Lot was serving the two archangels, there occurred an incident that proves how corrupted Sodom was at the time. Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. Before they lay down, the man of the city, the man of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have relations with them." The verses well describe how corrupted they were, being corrupted sexually, as they saw two extremely beautiful persons, the kind they'd never seen before. Lust was stirred up in their hearts. Blinded by lust, they didn't consider the situation but only demanded that the two persons be brought out. How did Lot behave at the time? He tried to deter them from committing such evil. Dealing with people who were agitated like this was an act of risking his own life. As the situation didn't seem to calm down at all, Lot made an unexpected offer to them. To protect the ones in his house, Lot even intended to bring out his two daughters who hadn't slept with a man yet. He did not offer to bring out his daughters in pursuit of his own benefit. He did so only to protect the ones who belonged to God. Also, he did not force his daughters to do as he said, ignoring their will. Lot's daughters also understood the situation and were ready to obey their father's will. Knowing their hearts, Lot made such an offer and to protect the two precious guests. Lot made that offer out of a good heart. Consequently, God caused all things to work for good. The two daughters were kept safe from the corrupted group of people. Luke chapter 18 verse 8 says, However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Likewise, the people of Sodom were out of control. Lot was enlightening them on the moral duty as men. Although there were no malice in Lot's words and deeds, the people of Sodom attempted to harm him because they were kept from doing as they pleased. But even in that situation, Lot tried to protect the two archangels and kept his faith to the end. God sometimes lets us undergo a test before He blesses us. He tests us to see if we show faith to the end and to see if our faith is unchanging, spiritual faith. Once we pass the test, God's blessing comes for sure. We should also demonstrate our faith to the end. In the face of unfavorable situation, if you compromise for a while and then again confess you believe and love God, that's not true faith. You shouldn't have a cunning heart by which you turn your face away from the Lord and deny God. You should achieve a heart by which you can guard your faith against all persecutions for Jesus Christ. Just as Lot was saved from the imminent destruction of Sodom, hopefully you can directly experience God's helping hand that brings you out of your most difficult problem. The second reason you should live a life set apart from the world is to keep ourselves from being tainted by sin and evil. The inhabitants of Sodom not only revealed their adulterous mind through outward deeds, but they gave up the duty of man. They'd become terribly corrupted and perverted in light of man's morals and ethics. Even though Lot previously chose the land of Sodom that looked good to his own eyes, even while living with them, he couldn't assimilate into their lives. As a person who had faith, Lot conflicted with them who were drenched in evil, so there were many troubles and hard moments. In the eyes of Sodom inhabitants, Lot was not a person who could join them in their debaucheries, so they only regarded him as an alien, a foreigner. Job chapter 11 verse 14 says, If inequity is in your hand, put it far away, and do not let wickedness dwell in your heart. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 8 says, Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. As said in the verse, in Genesis chapter 47, when Jacob's entire family arrived in Egypt, avoiding the severe famine, Joseph prevented his people from being tainted with evil by living with them. He let his family live in the land of Goshen. He wanted his family to live in a stable and separate environment where they can thrive, engaging in livestock farming, which they'd been doing for generations. Because livestock farming was considered abominable and lowly, he prevented the Egyptians from having vigilance against his people. But more importantly, it was to distance his people from the Egyptians. One of the important things the Israelites had to keep was their identity as the people of God's covenant. He wanted to protect them from idolatry and mixing with the Egyptians by marriage. If they had mixed with the Gentiles, they would have naturally accepted their culture and gotten tainted by the world by worshiping idols which God detests. Joseph demonstrated such deeds to prevent them from forsaking God's covenant and getting tainted with evil. Then, what about Solomon? As the king of Israel, Solomon offered God 1,000 burnt offerings, thereby receiving unprecedented wisdom as well as wealth and honor. After he ascended to the throne after David, what Solomon did first was offer 1,000 burnt offerings with utmost sincerity. Joyfully accepting Solomon's burnt offering, offered with all his sincerity, God appeared to his dream, saying, Ask what I shall give you. Then Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge by which he could discern good and evil in ruling his people. God was pleased in Solomon's not asking for riches, wealth, and honor. So in addition to wisdom and knowledge, he gave him riches and honor which he didn't ask for. However, with passing of time, his trust and fear towards God gradually weakened, and he began to compromise with the world, marrying foreign women. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 says, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And if his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been, as said, these women turned Solomon's heart away from God and led him to worship other gods. At his wives' repeated demands, he became slack and began compromising with them, serving idols and God at the same time. Finally, he fell into idolatry and built temples for foreign gods using the national treasury." Exodus chapter 23, verse 33 says, "They," Gentiles here, it means Gentiles here, "shall not live in your land, because they will make your sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." Namely, if the foreign tribes were allowed to live with them, they would get tainted and serve their gods. This signifies if we take in the worldly things and keep them in our hearts, we end up worshiping Lucifer, which has the world under her control. For this reason, God strictly commands us to sever ties with the world spiritually. Even today, if we keep worldly things and have them remain, we end up associating with them, going down to the path to spiritual destruction. But this is not to say you should never do fleshly things and keep company with worldly people. It is to warn you not to spiritually keep worldly things in your heart and fall into them. Corruption or degeneration is a gradual process. Let's say someone weighs himself on a scale and screams in surprise, "I've gained 10 kilograms in a day." Hearing this, people nearby would think of it as a joke. We can't get 10 kilograms in a day. If we get in the habit of overeating without exercise over a long period, we gain a lot of weight as a result. The same goes for sin. As we compromise with sins, they pile up and get out of control. Therefore, we ought to distance ourselves from the world in the first place to keep us from being tainted with sins and evil. Genesis chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. "For we are about to destroy this place, because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. The way of salvation for them was to get out of the city, as the archangels directed. Now the judgment of fire was about to be inflicted upon the city of Sodom. It would be stupid to think they could be saved anyhow while remaining in the city. It's the same spiritually. In the Bible are mentioned particular sins. And if we keep living amidst them, God makes it clear we won't be saved. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now that these of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Just as Lot was saved by leaving the city of Sodom, we are saved when we depart from sins. Particularly, we should never commit the works of flesh or sins leading to death. Upon hearing the archangel's command, Lot believed the words and thus presented the way of salvation to his family. Not just himself, but he wanted his family and those who belonged to him to be saved. Eventually, Lot's daughters and his wife obeyed his words, but his sons-in-law took them as a joke. Despite being given a chance for salvation, they themselves rejected it. They didn't pay attention to his advice. With their hearts drenched in sin and evil, they thoroughly enjoyed their life in Sodom and never wanted to give that up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." As said, even though God reached out his hand of salvation, with their hearts filled with love for the world, they insisted on remaining in the world. It's the same today. Despite numerous works of power manifested in this church and the words of life clarifying on the will of God, those who are in love with the world can't get into the truth of the salvation, Despite the numerous works of power manifested in the church, those who love the world can't get into that, into the truth or the salvation. When you testify to the works of God manifested in the church, some people believe them and visit this church, while others think of them as a lie, just as Lot's sons-in-law did. Even though the grace of salvation is extended to them, they refuse to believe the works of God and thus lose the chances for salvation. Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So man seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters. But the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. As the judgment was impending, no more chance was given to them. Here, Lot hesitated because he strived to let even one more of his people to be saved. In addition to the sons-in-law, he had many servants at home. Lot wanted to offer them a chance for salvation, but they rejected that offer because they didn't want to leave behind the city. Now put yourself in their shoes and think how you would have acted. Of course, all of you here would say, "I'd have departed from the city following Lot for sure." Yet in reality, some of you failed to do so. To leave the city of Sodom meant to abandon all what you have achieved and accumulated in your life. It is to lay down all your fame, riches, and authority without hesitation. Moreover, if your beloved family members refuse to follow you or insist on not leaving, you have to leave them behind. You don't even have enough time to take any of your possessions, but you have to leave immediately, deserting all of them. I want you to examine whether you would obey the word of God in such a situation. Our shepherd only said amen to the words of Father God. He didn't seek his own benefit or compromise with the world even a little bit. This was when our shepherd was a novice believer, after he met Father God and was perfectly healed of all his diseases. He engaged in a manual labor. It was to pay off his debts as well as to recover his health, which had lost from many years of sickness. While he was living in a shabby and old house with his family, he got a call from one of his older sisters who was running a fancy restaurant and owned a building. She offered to let him run the restaurant. She offered to make him the manager and let his wife work with him. This could resolve all their problems of necessities of life, and they could expect a financially affluent life. She said that she would even offer him a place to live and a high salary, but it was on the condition that he had to work even on Sunday, twice a month. What choice do you think he made? He firmly rejected that offer because he had to go to church on Sunday no matter what. So rather than working as a manager at a fancy restaurant, he chose to do a manual labor to keep the Sabbath day holy. Involving man's thoughts, what she said couldn't have been a better offer, because if he had worked as a manager, he could have paid off all his debts quickly and had his own house. But he believed that the shortcut to blessing was to please God first. So he didn't compromise with the world even a little bit. He only wanted to obey the words of God. Among you are those who have successfully passed the test of faith, even amidst persecution and temptations of the world. Even when they were in a situation where they were forced to choose between church and family, they resolutely chose church and now have evangelized their families and zealously lead Christian lives. As they haven't compromised with the world but only obeyed the words of God, they are now enjoying a lot of blessings. Thus, we should also obey the words of God, keeping ourselves away from the world and sins and evil. Today's scripture, Genesis chapter 19, verse 17 says, When they had brought them outside, one said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away. After the archangels brought Lot and his family out of the city, they warned them again, saying that they shouldn't look back or stay anywhere in the valley. What does this mean? It means to completely sever ties with the world and to turn away from it. It also means to utterly cut off worldly things inside you. Sodom signifies corrupted world in a spiritual sense. So looking back or staying anywhere in the valley is not completely getting out of the world. It indicates that you still have lingering attachment to the world, and there is a chance of your going back to the world again. To escape to the mountain is to start off on a new life, set apart from the world. Mountain symbolizes the place where we live set apart from the world. So to escape to the mountain is to start our life anew in a place separated from the world. Although Lot made a false choice of falling into the corrupted city of Sodom, when he obeyed the word of God, cast off all worldly things, and set out on a new life, salvation was given to him. He completely cut off the world without any lingering attachment to it. However, Lot's wife, who escaped the city of Sodom, looked back in disobedience to the archangel's warning. Consequently, she turned into a pillar of salt. This tells us what kind of result we would face if we failed to throw away attachment to the world. The same can be said today. Even if we accept Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and be born as a new creature, unless we completely throw away love and affection for the world, chances are we would look back to the world again. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, But Jesus said to him, No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And said, If those who believe and live in the Lord look back to the world again, it is not acceptable. Furthermore, if you are entrusted with the Lord-given duties, you have to put your work for the Lord first and make it a priority. Brothers and sisters, let me conclude a message. The reason why Lot lived a life set apart from the world, it was for his salvation. No matter how hard and difficult your life situation may be, if you repent and turn back and go to the place where you can receive salvation and seize that opportunity for salvation, you can be saved. And if you try not to be tainted with the world, we can advance into a more beautiful place in heaven. Lot himself fulfilled the justice for his salvation. In addition to Lot's deeds, because Father God remembered Abraham, Father God opened the way of salvation for Lot. Abraham harbored his nephew Lot because he figured out the original heart of the Father God who does not delight in destroying people. He pleaded with God several times. So, fleshly thinking, you may wonder, does God love only Lot and his family? Why did God destroy all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah? It's not that Father God destroyed them, all of them, because he lacked love and mercy. He did so to set an example of the consequences of sin, so that to keep the mankind from committing sins, the same kind of sin. It carries the Father God's love. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? Our shepherd is currently communicating with God on the mountain. The origin of God is love. The original space has no bounds and no limits. It can harbor all people on the earth. It also relates to the providence to save the numerous souls. The same kind of justice can be applied in this time today. If anyone, just like Abraham, harbors the souls who are going towards the destruction, the chance for salvation can be given to them. Father God has such a providence in this church in this end time. Knowing this will of God, the shepherd has endlessly, incessantly pleaded with God. Because he, understanding the original heart of God, and he tried to bring down his great power and open the way of salvation for many souls. Even though now today the world is more evil than Sodom and Gomorrah, many souls have been given for chances for salvation. Many of you have experienced such grace through December 25th, 2010. When the shepherd pleaded with God, interceded for us, Father God gave us chances. Father God let the shepherd fulfill the justice on our behalf. But in order to be saved, we should satisfy the justice on our part. Just as the archangel said, do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. We should never look back until we reach our final destination. Lot and his two daughters also must have wanted to look back at least even once. But they obeyed the archangel's warning and overcame that temptation, thereby reaching salvation in the end. The same goes for you. To overcome such temptation and persecutions, the most important thing is to pray. Mark chapter 14, verse 38 says, keep watching and praying so that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Although we desire to live so in our heart, but because of the sinful natures in our heart, we succumb to the flesh and fall into temptation. So in order not to succumb to our flesh, we have to keep awake and pray and receive the fullness of the Spirit and receive the grace and power from above. No matter how much, without the prayer, you can receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit and hear His voice. So I hope you realize the Father God's love who wants to gives us the chance of salvation and throw away attachment to the world and only press on forward. Let us pray looking back, looking over today's message. It's time to receive the senior pastor's prayer. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on them. If you don't have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest to receive the prayer with your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All newly discovered diseases, including swine flu, go away, be cleansed. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, azoleukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. heal them of polio stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other parts, all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessings of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the animal devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness, loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery whirls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom, wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.